Hi, I'm Marcus, and I support Gen X Grown Up through Patreon. You can too by visiting patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to episode 990 of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And you know that Mo is here with us.
Hey, everybody.
In this episode, we'll catch up with a psychological horror series about a couple in grief who hire a nanny to care for a doll, see if the latest e-reader from Amazon is a worthy addition to your tech collection, and play a puzzle game for your phone that's sure to reduce your productivity. That's exactly what I need. Less productivity. Before we get into that, though, we have some great business. First of all, can you remember the last time we had a new iTunes review? It's been a hot minute.
Yeah. It has been a hot minute.
Yeah, but we do have a new one. It hit iTunes just the other day. This is BMRS2000 is the screen name of this user from Canada. The subject of the review was awesome podcast, 5 stars. Thank you, BMSR.
Wow.
Or BMRS, or I'll get his name straight eventually.
Yeah, get it right. He gave us 5 stars.
Right. It's a 5-star review.
That's why we haven't had one of these damn reviews in a hot minute, because John can't ever get the names right.
It's all my fault. I'll take it. The review says, if you want to reminisce about life growing up in the 70s and 80s, this podcast is for you. Hosted by 3 friends that take you down memory lane, discussing a different topic each week, they openly talk about movies, video games, toys, and many other interesting subjects. Ah, cool. Thank you.
Very cool.
I don't
want
to take issue with the review because it's nice to have one, but 3 friends? Not really sure that we qualify as much as we argue on this show.
3 adversaries combine their powers. Thank you, BMRS2000. I appreciate you doing that. You know, we haven't talked about it in a while. If you have not yet left a review on iTunes or wherever you listen, it really helps people discover the show. So take a second, head over there into that convoluted mess that is iTunes, and help us out if you would. We sure appreciate it. Also, we have another 4th listener email. We all know my favorite part of the show. And this one, I expect some more ribbing here, but this is from longtime listener and Patreon supporter, John with an H, who wrote in, and the subject line is Big Fur.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
I thought we were finished with that.
Yep. Podcast over. There we go.
It was a couple of shows ago, maybe just the last show, I don't remember, but I talked about this documentary film that I saw about this guy who was, he's a taxidermist who's building a Sasquatch from scratch.
And let's not forget, he's a Roy Orbison impersonator.
There's a lot more stuff going on, right?
And a pedophile.
And a pedophile, yeah. Stuff to get that part either.
No, he's not. Okay, anyway, here's what John has to say.
John, the defense attorney.
Right. John says, so I watched Big Fur, not because I really wanted to, but because I couldn't stop thinking about why would someone who continues to resist watching the Goonies watch a documentary about a Sasquatch loving pedophile Roy Orbison impersonating taxidermist not once but twice?
That's a good question.
That is a valid inquiry, John.
That's the most apt description of that piece of crap movie I've ever seen.
Did you watch it? Do you know?
No, I don't want to watch it. I'm avoiding it like the plague or garlic if I was a vampire. This is terrible. This is going to kill people. Do not watch this film.
You're wrong. So John goes on to say, while the documentary is nowhere near as good as The Goonies, I did enjoy it. The main character was thoughtful, introspective, even though I think he's way off base on Sasquatches. If they existed, someone would have hunted one down by now. Probably a fair point. You know, in the world where everybody has a camera in their pocket, by now we would have video of a Sasquatch. Mm. I think. Yeah.
At least Google Maps would have had satellite imagery of a Sasquatch running down the forest
Google
highway.
Google accidentally
or
gets
like
pictures
that.
Of everything at some point. There's no reason we wouldn't.
Like, it's got Area 51 in Google Maps. I'm sure it would find a Sasquatch at this point.
Mm-hmm. He says, I came away with a better appreciation for his talent, not only as a taxidermist, but as an excellent Roy Orbison impersonator. I was also happy to see he wasn't an actual pedophile. Weird with ladies, good. But still legal. Yes. See, he's not a pedophile.
So far as the documentary told us.
Innocent until proven guilty. That's right. After watching, I did wonder why someone with that much artistic talent couldn't come up with better haircuts over the years. I also wasn't down with keeping supposed Sasquatch poop in the fridge. What? But thanks for the recommendation. Goonie. Yeah, huh? He keeps what he believes is Sasquatch scat in his freezer for to be tested at a future date.
And there's the next part of the review.
I didn't want to overwhelm you with details, but yes, that's another fact. Thanks for the recommendation. Watch the damn Goonies movie now. Thanks, Jonathan H. I swear I'm gonna.
Yeah.
We appreciate you, John, for writing in. We love it every time the fourth listener writes into the show. If you'd like your email featured here, just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. Most everyone gets featured right here during the opening segment. All right, gentlemen, I am ready. George, you ready to hit it?
Absolutely.
Mo, ready to dig in?
Let's do this.
Here we go after this break.
Introducing Kodakolor VRG film.
We're all moving to a different rhythm. Our hearts are beating to a different drum.
That's what keeps the whole world spinning.
And that's what makes the whole world.
Accurate, realistic color in print film is here. New Kodakolor VRG.
Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack, and it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Kicking the show off, as we always do here at the top, talking about media, the things we've been consuming, whether it may be music or movies or books or comics or whatever between now and the last time that we spoke. And we're going to kick it off with George, who has a very special media element he's been consuming since we last spoke. What are you watching, George?
Yeah, I mean, I've probably watched this speech, I don't know, 20, 30 times at this point since I first saw it on January 20th. So that might give you a hint as to what it is.
Right.
There was a very special occasion, January 20th. It was the inauguration of Joe Biden. And during that inauguration ceremony, right after a couple of people did some singing and a couple of people spoke, including the president, the vice president, whatnot, there was a young lady who got up and gave a speech, Amanda Gorman. She is our first National Youth Poet Laureate of this country. I followed her work a little bit over the last couple of years since I first heard about her, but the speech that she gave at the inauguration called The Hill We Climb, I'm having a hard time right now not tearing up about that speech, just thinking about it. It was emotional. It was healing. It was powerful. It was directed. It held people to account while also giving people solace. This may be her magnum opus. I mean, it was incredible to see something that strong in that occasion. If you haven't had a chance, there are multiple channels that have mm-hmm. the video of her reading it.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to watch the rest of the inauguration stuff. You can just watch that. This poem.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
Isn't she only like 22 years old?
Yeah, she's 22 years old, and it's incredible. She's been this way ever since she was young. If you look at her history, I want to say she started like in the early teens or even earlier than mm-hmm. that. I mean, it's crazy. There are a lot of people who consider her to be the next Maya Angelou. I consider that she's probably going to be a little bit better just because her style has developed so well at such a young and early age. It's almost like when you see a person playing piano when they're a kid and they're a virtuoso, right? They just have that God-given ability. She's that way with poetry.
You're like, it's just not fair. It's like, damn it, I work at this and I'm not that great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, being 50 years old and having written since I was probably 9 or 10 myself, so 40-odd years of trying to write, it is a little creepy and sad that I can't write even close to her.
And you still haven't been asked to speak at an inauguration somehow, despite all your efforts.
It's really, you know, when they bring one up where it's a documentary about curse words, maybe they'll have me on.
Right. They'll have you on.
But for now, I was moved by it, but I was also curious to what John and you and Mo thought about this poem, if you happen to see it.
I had to keep reminding myself how old she was.
Right.
Because it didn't sound like something that a 22-year-old would write. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It just had so much, she must have an old soul or something because.
Yeah. Felt like it had 30 years of experience behind it. Yeah,
exactly.
It?
I mean, it was powerful. I mean, it was amazing. And I thought it was like the correct message for this inauguration too.
Yeah.
I certainly saw this too. And it was powerful. You're not exaggerating. You're really not. And almost as much as I enjoyed seeing her there presenting her poem and how impactful it was, I also saw a bit with her on the morning news the day after, and she was being interviewed about it. And she's like, how do you feel this morning? She's like, there's not many mornings you wake up feeling this good. And she told the story of how, you know, the ring she wore was a caged bird in reference to Maya Angelou, and their outfit and her earrings were purchased by Oprah because she had a relationship. But the coolest thing is they had a snippet from Lin-Manuel Miranda who wanted to tell her how impactful it was to him. He had some great comments about how the right words in the right order at the right time can change the world, and you crushed it. And she was almost in tears. It was almost as much fun seeing her getting adulation for her good work as it was seeing her do the good work. Yeah. All around, it's uplifting and cool stuff.
Yeah. I don't think after all the turmoil that we went through in the prior weeks with all the stuff going on, especially in Washington, to see something like that come on the scene out of nowhere. I didn't expect it. I didn't know she was going to be a speaker. And when I saw her, I immediately stopped what I was doing that day, turned off all my work stuff, and just sat and watched.
Yeah.
It was healing. It really, it put me in a much better frame of mind to move forward with this country, with each other coming together and healing. I mean,
you can't put a price tag on that. Incredible.
No.
Especially after 2020. Oh,
yeah. Right. Exactly.
And the thing that amazed me, though, is just like Lady Gaga was there, Jennifer Lopez, Garth Brooks, all these people. But I think everyone's going to remember her and her poem.
Oh, yeah. She's the star.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Well, John, that's what I had in media. What about you?
Yeah. So I want to talk about a new series that I picked up. And I know we're all watching this because at one point or the other, we have all called each other and goes, are you watching this yet? Are you watching this yet? Have you seen this yet? And it deserves all of that attention. So there's a new series just kicked off in the new year, 2021, called Mr. Mayor, a new vehicle for Ted Danson.
Yeah. Right.
And so I'll talk super briefly about the concept, but I want to focus on why you ought to be watching this. So the concept is Ted Danson is this retired wealthy guy. He's a single dad. I won't even ruin it if you haven't watched it. Why? But for some reason, he is motivated to run for the mayorship of Los Angeles, and he wins. So the series begins as he starts his term as the new mayor of Los Angeles. And he is surrounded by a weird kind of murder's row of weird characters around him. Actors like Holly Hunter and Bobby Moynihan, and Mike Cabellon. People that you've seen in other places do other things, especially Holly Hunter and Ted Danson. But it's in a little sitcom. It's kind of The Office-y, but not like talk to the camera, The Office-y. But it's like workplace comedy. The thing that I want to focus on, though, it's a fun sitcom. It's enjoyable to watch. The young actors, the character actors in this, they have lined up. The best part about watching a sitcom that makes you go back again and again is put together cool, quirky, different characters with actors that can portray them and just smash those people against each other and watch them act like a repertory troupe. I predict that, I mean, in 5 years, the young actors in this show are going to be the A-list comics for film and media and movies.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
So many of these young, that I'd never seen before, and some that I'd seen in bit parts, they are crushing it in this little sitcom.
You called me and said, have you seen this yet? And I was like, no. And I started watching, and I watched like the first three episodes, like back to back.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then around the same time, George called me and said, have you been watching this? I'm like, yeah. Right.
Yeah, like after the first two episodes. Yep.
Yeah.
I think it's great. It's like, when it's another Tina Fey, you know, she's like a big part of this thing.
Creative power. Yeah, yeah.
And her stuff, like she, all like 30 Rock, all this stuff. I mean, she definitely, I think, has the right formula, which is you got to create interesting characters, right? Mm-hmm. And you said, just throw them against each other and see what happens. And that's what kind of like the feeling I get. And it makes fun of politics and the whole thing. They're telling him, like, you know, you don't want to be a meme. Don't eat in public. Yeah. And the first thing he does is roll up a pizza, which is like weird. But just the whole thing is just, it's just smart. And actually, something you said, John, to me when you told me to watch is that every episode just seems to get a little better.
Better and better and better. And George, would you agree? I mean, you were also watching this. I know that the story is almost just this skeleton on which they hang this amazingly rich character work. So he's a mayor. Yeah, that's just a thing they use as a frame. And it just keeps banging, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, there's an episode, I believe it's the second episode, where he ends up eating the rolled up pizza and all the other crazy stuff. He's making appointments. I think that's episode two, maybe episode one. Anyway,
I think you're right. Yeah.
There is a crossover character that's in that episode that is running the marijuana shop that he first stops at that day.
Oh, yes.
character is from another favorite show of ours, Superstore. That actor who plays that character.
Oh, okay.
I think this will become the next Superstore for me.
Yeah,
because it feels like this is very similar. It's that same workplace environment with family ties and stuff that get brought into the workplace and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's also, how do I describe it? It workplace comedy, family comedy, situational comedy, none of it talking directly to the camera, which you're not going to beat The Office at that. So why try? And I'm glad that they didn't
play that game.
I think that they hit every single possibly high point that they could right out of the gate. My wife, who I sat down with last night, actually, before we watched the show, we watched episode four. She liked it and she said, oh, that was good. Do you have any others? And I'm like, yeah. And so we started at the first episode and she was like, but wait, I thought you meant you had more after that. I said, no, that's the episode that came out this week.
That's it. Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, okay, great. Let's just watch the others because they're only like 20 minutes long.
Yeah,
minus commercials.
Show, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They're potato chip shows, but they're fun. They've got a little bit of heart and soul in them that hasn't gotten too dramatic yet.
No.
And the best character so far for me has got to be the holdover from the previous administration writer media guy who is terrible at his job and keep around for bus meat. Oh my goodness, is he switches and flips that character's responses so quickly. Just like, wait, you want me to go tell him this possibly bad news? Okay, then. And he just walks off and he's like super happy to do it. I love that character. I think this is going to be a great show for at least 3 to 6 years, probably.
I got to hope you're right.
Fingers crossed.
Yep. Just like Superstore, I thought, I love this. It's going to be killed right away, I'm sure. That's how it always goes for me.
Yeah.
It's already must watch. It pops up in my library. I'm like, oh, I'm watching it immediately. I don't care what else I have to do. This is what I'm going to watch. So, yep. Mr. Mayor, it's on NBC, I think, or the Peacock, if you're watching on streaming or something. You should definitely give it a shot. Mo, how about you, my man? What are you watching in media that we should check out?
This is going to be like the exact opposite of that show.
Oh, okay.
Sasquatch poop involved or?
No, thank God. But no? It gets weird. So one, I heard about it because I saw an announcement that the season two was starting. And I was like, season two? I never heard of this show. It's called Servant. I don't know if you guys heard of it.
No. So,
and John, I'm surprised that me and you somehow this slipped under our radar because it's another M. Night Shyamalan TV show, which, you know, we can't.
M. Night Shyamalan has a TV show?
We can't.
What
quit
a twist.
That guy, right?
What a twist.
Yeah, exactly. And for those of you who don't know, me and John have this like love-hate thing with him.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It ain't just the two of you.
Watch,
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do too? Yeah.
We cannot not watch his movies and TV shows.
I don't care how crappy it is. I'm going to see it. Yeah.
We're going to see it. And then we'll talk about how crappy it is. And he'll come out with another one. We'll watch that one too. Right.
Yep.
So this one, no, he's just executive producer. And I think he wrote the general story.
Okay. So he can only do so much damage.
Yeah, exactly. It's on Apple TV. I watched it. And let me tell you, it's weird. It is weird. So, John, you talked about the basic premise.
Right.
You know, these people hire a nanny to look after a doll, which you're like, okay. The reason why the doll is that the couple actually lost their kid. Like their child died when he was like 16 weeks old or something, like very young. And the wife was having such a hard time with it that they gave a surrogate doll to help her kind of bridge that delusion that the kid's not dead. Like, she was like totally losing it, apparently.
That doesn't sound healthy.
No. And to me, I was like, what fucking psychiatrist do you guys have? At the beginning, the wife treats the doll like it's a living thing. Well, the dad knows it's not. And so he's just kind of going along with it for his wife's sake. And the wife has to hire a nanny because she wants to go back to work. And the dad's like,
whoa. Hold on.
Yeah.
Because I know the description's going to go further. And I don't want to forget this point. The wife hires a nanny for the fucking doll?
The wife believes the doll is alive.
Holy shit.
Mm.
Okay, as the husband in that story, how do you not go, bullshit, lady, get over it. The child is dead. We all feel bad. That's a fucking doll. You're not spending any more of my money.
Okay, it gets worse.
Oh, God.
So there is Sasquatch poop. All right.
Yeah, pretty much. So this is not really this is like a major part of the story, so it's not really like a spoiler.
Okay, all right.
So the dad goes in there and the nanny they hire is weird, obviously.
Oh, of course. Really?
And so it's to the point where when the wife is gone, he's telling the nanny, like, okay, you could cut the act out. She's not here. But the nanny is treating the doll like it's real.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Mm.
They found two of these people in the same storyline?
This is the second episode that this happens in, but I'm going to say it anyway, because this statement will make you watch this show, okay, this next thing, which is the nanny's like, oh, I have to go out to the store. Will you listen for the baby? And he's like, yeah, whatever. Nanny leaves, puts the baby monitor next to him, and he's sitting there. All of a sudden, he hears crying.
Oh, fuck off.
Get the hell out.
M. Night Shyamalan. With your goddamn talking trees and all your shit that you've put us through over the last 20 years. Really? Fucking crying doll baby Chucky kind of shit?
And then let's put it this way. He goes up there and there's now a baby in the crib.
Oh my
God.
Okay. No.
Damn it, M. Night Shyamalan.
What is this? Pinocchio comes to life and slits everybody's throat?
I'm a real boy.
And that's where it just goes. And the funny thing is the guy who
and
played.
And then it goes crazy.
Yeah, actually, you know, it's funny. Up until that point, I was like, okay, this is just weird. At that point, I'm like, holy crap, what the hell is going on here? And so,
oh my God,
I can't not watch this thing now because I'm like, what the hell is happening here? I mean, it's just bizarre because then the husband's trying to figure out where this baby came from. The wife thinks it's still the baby.
Mm-mm. Okay. So there's a whole first season out there. Is it how much of it is there? Is it like six episodes? 12,
I think
there's
eight in the first season and the second season, two episodes in. So I'm like four or five episodes in the first season.
Huh.
In a way, it's sort of realistic in the sense that like if you were a husband, all of a sudden there's a baby there, what would you do? Right. That part, it seems kind of real.
Not that.
But well, then
that part seems kind of real. doll turned into a baby. Well, and that part seems real.
No,
have
no,
you been corrupted mentally by this show? Already?
No. Would you think that the doll turned to a baby, or what would you think happened?
I would instantly kill that little fucker in a heartbeat.
I would just leave.
Knife to the forehead, choking that little bastard out.
Wow.
It's a doll that just turned into a baby. What do you mean, wow? It's fucking Chucky. It's going to eat me.
Oh, God.
They said they did a second season, so you know it must have been okay first season.
Yeah, okay, right.
And then, of course, you know, the whole thing with the nanny, and she, there's something up with her, and there's all these little, like, supernatural things happening.
Clearly.
I have to finish watching this thing because it's I got to know what the hell is happening.
First thing, I hear that crying over the baby monitor. The Glock is coming out. I'm just telling you. There's no way. No.
Yeah.
Oh, so this God. Is on, you said Apple TV.
Apple
the
TV.
Servant.
The Servant. And
Servant.
When you get to that scene where the baby suddenly is there, you will not be able to stop watching.
This feels like M. Night Shyamalan had a seance with Steve Jobs and they came up with this fucking crazy thing to put on his network after he was dead.
Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's
the
crazy.
The sad thing is, you're right, Mo. After hearing you talk about it, I'm going to go fucking watch this piece of shit now.
It's actually really well done.
God.
And you still won't watch Big Fur. I feel offended.
No, sorry. I draw the line. A Sasquatch poop. That's where I'm done.
There's no Sasquatch poop, I guarantee it.
There's gotta be a line.
There's no Sasquatch poop.
Get the fever. your Ford dealer now while the deals are hot.
Drive away a Ford Escort, only $127 a month.
Ford Fever.
Get the West's hottest selling car, Ford Thunderbird. Save over $2,300. Feel the rush of Escort GT, yours with low 7.9 financing.
Hurry in for hot deals you'd expect from number one, Ford Fever.
Get in now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On that, let's move into tech and toys.
All right.
I'm going to start with, like, it's kind of a tech, kind of a toy thing that I've been sort of playing with.
All right.
I hope it's not a living baby doll thing. That's all. Ooh, I'm hoping.
That's, oh, okay, yeah. Let's move on then. Let's move it to the next one. So that's what it was. No, nothing like that. So I'm trying to put together another video for our YouTube channel. You know how we did guess the theme song for the TV show?
Right.
I'm trying to do one, like, guess the video game based on the sounds.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
And so, but I was like, you got to have something visual, right, with it.
It'd be nice, sure.
And I had this wild, huge aspiration of, like, wouldn't it be cool if we could, like, actually see, like, a blank arcade cabinet? You could walk past them and hear the sounds. And I'm like, okay, Mo, get real.
Right.
And then somebody recommended it, said, hey, have you looked at this, the Unity game development kit? And you see games. I'm sure you guys play games on your phones.
Oh, yeah, like the splash screen.
Yeah, there's a Unity splash screen that comes up.
Right.
So I looked into it. It's free. So I downloaded it, started playing with it, and I was actually able to put that together.
Wait, you learned how to build a video game for your YouTube video?
Like, I made the scene and I had something that's walking through it with the sounds and all that stuff, and I was able to do all of that in about a day and a half.
Holy hell.
What? So, like, you built, like, cabinets and, like, environments and stuff?
I found the arcade cabinet. Somebody had already there's a ton of, like, free crap out there.
Okay.
Oh, like elements you can bring in. All right. Yeah. That makes sense.
And so somebody brought it in, but then I put up walls and put a floor down there. And
so these are three-dimensional? They're not flat 2D images out of Google search or something?
Nope. They're 3D. I got the 3D models that people created. Oh, and damn. Let me tell you, this thing, I'm like scratching, like, not even the surface. I wouldn't even call it that. This thing is so much involved, and there's a ton of YouTube channels. There's one that actually, you walk through this 90-minute video. At the end, you have, like, a playable game.
Oh, damn.
Huh.
Okay.
Wow.
So approachable, apparently, huh?
Yeah. It's super cool because it's definitely designed for games and 3D environments, but it's for platformers too. You can build stuff with it, and it has things built in, stuff like gravity and all these kind of elements that are just there, and you really get deep and write code. And it's one of these things, I could see why so many people are building games based on it.
I've seen Unity every like half the games I played. Sure. Unity pops up at the front of it, like THX sound or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One, it's just like a cool, it was just fun to do it just because, like, it, I felt like I got results. Now, did I necessarily take the easiest path to get to my end result? Probably not.
Yeah, but you learned getting there, right?
But I learned getting it. I'm sure there's like a million ways that people are like, oh, why don't you just do like this? And it was saved you like 10 hours, but still, it was a lot of fun to do it.
So I have a real quick follow-up. So I always assumed Unity was just like more than a language, like an environment you could code in or something. Yeah. But as you describe it, it's almost like it's like Legos, like a building blocks. Like they have a window already. They have the gravity. They have the collision detection. Yep. Like they have all those pieces already, and you just have to skin it with the parts you want. Is that more like what it does?
Yeah, it's like a kit. Like you build stuff with the kit, but it has
like a Rector set or something.
Yeah, it's very much like for instance, like you drop a cube right onto your screen. And you're like, okay, now I'm going to add to this cube, I'm going to add a texture. You drag and drop a texture. And there's aspects of that you could do. Oh, I want this thing to actually be affected by gravity. And there's aspects of that. And I want this to make sound. You drag onto that. But then you can even get deeper and say, now I'm going to add some scripting language. And you could code in C# and have it do all sorts of crazy stuff. And that's where I think the real game development happens, when people are at that level.
No wonder everybody uses it for half the games we've seen played. Sure. It's like you have a head start on your game.
Exactly. Or it's like, and then it comes with like some sample games. So they have like a sample little Lego game where you're hopping around.
You see how it works. Yep.
But then it says, okay, now let's add a new platform here. And you go through the code, you add another platform, then you say play, and you play the game and you jump on your new platform. And you're like, holy cow, that was easy.
And it's just download Unity and it's free. You get started. That's it.
Yeah. It's all free. Huh. Everything is free on it. If anyone is interested in either game design or just having some fun with some 3D stuff, let me tell you, it was a very easy thing to get into.
Yeah. I don't know if I have an immediate use for it, but it's something I'm putting like in the tool chest for like, you know.
Yeah. So George, what do you got for us?
Well, I mean, I'm still kind of on a reading kick, I guess, with this episode. So for Christmas, I made a wish list, as I've talked about in the last couple of episodes, and my family just decided to go hog wild. And between my mother and my wife and my kids, they bought pretty much everything on my list.
Nice.
So I have tech and toys to go for quite a while.
You're covered.
The one that I'm going to pick for this episode, though, is a Kindle Paperwhite.
Oh, now, yes.
Everybody's heard of Kindle. It's the Amazon reader thing.
Yeah.
The Paperwhite, though, is their, what is that? That ink, paper ink, whatever the hell that stuff is called. So it's e-ink. There you go.
Right.
It's not a backlit screen or anything like that. It's just that e-ink stuff.
Right.
It's a small little device, like 7-8 inches or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's perfect because it's just barely a little bit wider and taller than a paperback novel. So it fits well in my hand. It's very thin. It's very light. My mother bought the magnetic case to go with it. So, you know, I open up the magnetic case and it powers itself on automatically. And what I really enjoy about this device is how easy the e-ink is to read with my old eyes. I know that I have a hard time now. I'm having to always wear the 1.5 magnification reading glasses. And this little e-ink device is so easy on the eyes. I don't have any strain whatsoever. I can read this thing for hours on end. No eye strain, no headache, no nothing. I've been reading several different books that I've had in my Amazon Kindle store forever and just never wanted to read because reading them on a modern tablet, there's some eye strain there after a little while.
Absolutely. Yeah.
None of that problem. And I think the other biggest feature for me is because there's no backlit screen or, you know, no backlight to the monitor, the battery life on this thing is incredible. They got me this thing at Christmas. And when it got to the house, it had 76% battery. We're now recording this on January 23rd. So this is almost a full month later. I probably use it 3, maybe 4 times a week for an hour, maybe 2 hours at a time. It still has 42% battery.
Yeah.
I've never touched the cable. The cable's still in the box. It's incredible. So this is a device that if you love to read, like Mo, you love to read, you can slip this in a pocket almost, take it with you on a vacation for a week at a time and never have to worry about even bringing your cable with you.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. I have an older one because I got it Christmas before I got one of these.
Okay.
And yeah, let me tell you, you're absolutely, everything you said was dead on. I'm sure the newer one's probably even better than what I have. But well, one is that you could change the size of the text, which is awesome.
I love that.
Which is awesome. Yep. And like you said, George, the whole thing is like the battery, like I never worry about charging it. Or when I do, like, oh, it's dead. I stick it in a charger, an hour later, it's like I have another 100% and it's good for another month.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
But just the idea that it's so easy on the eyes. It's like I feel like I'm reading a book when I use mine.
It's, you know, when you go to buy a tablet, you're buying it for a lot of other different things. You're trying to get the best processor or the most RAM or things like that. So when you buy that tablet, you're spending a large amount of money. And if you're buying that tablet to be an e-reader, it's way overpowered for what it is, and it's not as comfortable as a device as this Kindle Paperwhite is. Amazon, I'm not saying that, you know, I want to bow down to the Amazon gods or anything like that, but damn it, if they didn't hit it out of the park with this device, it's awesome.
It's smart. And they're affordable too, which is the other thing that's really kind of cool about them.
You know, and you nailed on what was going to be my follow-up question. You pretty much fully explained here, so maybe I'm wasting your time. But I was like, why do you need an e-reader when you have a tablet and you have a phone and those kind of things already? But the fact that it isn't that, right? You get away from that. You're not getting text messages. You're not getting that eye strain. You're not distracted by other stuff. You're just reading.
Yep.
I think that's it. That's the attraction that I had never considered. Yeah. But yeah, I get it.
Yeah. What I love about this, I always read before I go to sleep. It's just like a habit. And when I used to read on my phone, but then there's so many other things on my phone that would distract me.
Exactly. Sure. Right.
You know, like this notification or this Facebook post or whatever. So now it's like I go to bed, I put my phone down on this charger, I pick up the book, and I don't need to look at my phone anymore.
And just read.
Reading. Yeah. Nothing is distracting me from reading.
I get it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's awesome. I'm glad you got one. I'm glad you like it too.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I definitely do. John, that's what I got for Christmas. Did you get anything cool that you're still wanting to talk about from Christmas, or is this a new tech toy thing, or do you have anything
at all? Yeah, I did. It's also something from Christmas. It really is. it was on my wish list because I wanted to explore this world. So as we're doing YouTube video production, you're always trying to go, what's the next thing I can do to try to step up your production values and those kind of things without breaking the bank?
What's the next thing I can spend my family's money on?
Yeah, right. You nailed it. Exactly right. And so... Remember, we toyed with gimbals and things like that for smoothing stuff. One of the things that I'm doing a lot of coverage of small desktop or handheld things, whether they're games or toys or whatever. And one of the things you shoot is B-roll. And if you don't know video production, all that means is it's a shot of the product, just a beauty shot. Maybe you're kind of panning across it, you're zooming in or zooming out, just something to show the product you're talking about while you're talking about it. So you don't have to look at my face the whole time. And so there are ways to get that done without any other gear. But what I really wanted and what I got for Christmas is a camera slider, a small one, a non-motorized camera slider. So what this is, if you don't know what I'm talking about, the one I got's about not quite 2 foot long, but 16, 18 inches long. And there's these two carbon fiber rails. And on it is this shuttle that's sitting on top of that with these really, really tightly mounted wheels. And you can set your camera on it. And once you do, you can move your camera across the table while it's shooting something and get that buttery smooth, none of the, you know, the jiggling in your hand to get these beautiful, beautiful wide shots. And I've used it for the first time preparing for my upcoming review of the Atari VCS. So I put it on the table and did these nice, slow, sweeping shots. And though it's not motorized, it does a great job. This, I can see this being a gateway drug to getting a motorized one or a bigger one or a curved track one or something else.
Gateway drug tech item.
Yeah. Like, oh, you want to get it to see if it works. And if it does, you're like, it works. Imagine how much better it'd be if this or the bigger one or the better one or whatever. Right.
I assume it just, can you only mount your phone on it or is it, can you use it for your camera? Can you use it for other stuff?
Well, the nice thing is it's got that standard camera 1/4-20 screw mount on it.
Okay.
So
okay.
Anything you have that's camera gear,
you put whatever,
like you could mount your camera's small rig cage onto it and just do it like that.
What? How sturdy is this thing? Is it... will it hold weight? Because some of those cameras and all the stuff, that gets pretty heavy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's rated for up to like 5 or 6 pounds you can put on there and move across.
That's
it. I mean, you're not putting a monstrous thing, but it's got the rails are this solid kind of like aluminum, I think. And it just is a really buttery, smooth movement. It's one of those things that it's, if you use it right, when you're watching the video, you shouldn't realize that anybody had a piece of gear at all. It should evaporate into the footage. It just, oh, there's a nice smooth shot. And you never think about in every video you see, every film you see, every movie, when the camera's moving, somebody had to set up track and rails and a cart mount a camera, all that stuff, because you want that nice, smooth thing. And this is another one of those where I'm like, what can I do to step up? Just make something a little bit better, a little bit tighter. So far, it's paying off. It was free to me because it's Christmas, but this one is only like, I think it's like $60. If you want it, I'll give you a link mode.
Okay. Throw it on the show notes. Question number one I had. So there we go.
Okay,
$60.
All right.
Yeah. The second question I had, and this one, it's not meant to be a jab as well. Why buy this? Blah, blah, blah. But I wonder, because I think I've seen quite a bit on Thingiverse of 3D printed camera slider.
Sure. Yeah.
Things that you can put together. You do have to add a couple of parts, like some screws or some bearings, things like that. But those are usually really cheap from places like Amazon or different other web stores online. Mm-hmm. Why go this route for your first one, as opposed to, since you have the 3D printer, why not do that to see if you like it before you spend the $60?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I think it was really a matter of... like when you 3D print something that needs a bunch of external parts, they're like, oh, I got to go find those parts and put it together. When I'm done, I'm not even sure if it's representative of what is the best result you could get. So I wanted to make sure that I at least gave it a fair shot. And also, we were talking about this with friends on the Discord server the other day. It's like, oh man, you get one of these, you can put a Raspberry Pi in it, you can do this. You're like, yeah, I wish I could take on another project. I wish I had the time to try to do get another thing like that.
Yeah,
it really just comes down to, well, I wanted to give it a shot. I can see myself upgrading it, but as it is, you know, combined with like some slow motion features and steady you've got on your phone already. I think for most people, I would say for 85% of the people that might need something like this at all, this non-motorized one is sufficient. It'll get the job done and it gives you those smooth shots that you want. So you'll start seeing it in some upcoming videos. It's and because it's not something that I cobbled together and it kind of holds together, has a little carrying case, I'll actually use it as opposed to, oh, I got to reassemble this other thing because it's just kind of an all one piece and it's just working together there. So
no, cool.
Mo, I will throw you the link. Yeah, as absolutely. I said in the show notes, somebody can take a peek at it and keep an eye on our YouTube stuff. You'll see it in use in some future videos.
Yeah, I'll have to stay away from it because, like you said, I don't need another gateway.
Right, another piece of gear, another toy to play with. Right?
There's nothing as special as Pepperidge Farm distinctive cookies. Such fancy shapes and real dark chocolate, sinfully rich. And the flavors like Milano's with orange or peppermint. All baked with extra care. Because Pepperidge Farm still remembers simple things make better cookies.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to get into the game segment.
What?
Huh? I'm not doing that intro anymore. I'm just kind of tired of it. It's
You're
old.
Phasing
I can't
out.
Think
Moving
of
on.
New things. Yeah. It's 2021. We need to start with new poetry. We need to start with a new outlook on life. So
turn over a new leaf. New games
let's just
intro.
Go straight
I like
into
it.
Games. Like Biden says, we've got work to do day one. So here we go.
Here it is.
Mo.
Yes.
I want to know what you've been playing.
Okay.
Get to work. Day one.
Let's get to work. I actually, again, went against my own, what's the right word here? Intelligence here and bought another early release game.
Your own best judgment.
My best judgment. Thank you.
Yeah.
The description hit all the right buttons for me of a game that I want to play.
All right.
Since I do such a horrible job of describing these things, I'm going to just read what it says on the website for it.
You know, the first step to recovery is recognizing you have a problem.
And I have a problem. Yes. Okay. So the name of the game is Everspace 2.
This comes from Big Fur Man. Okay. Yeah.
But I realize I have a problem. That's
true.
I
already
recognize. It's a documentary. I'm going to watch it and tell everybody to watch it just because it's got Bigfoot poop in it.
Roy Orbison. Okay. It's called Everspace 2.
Everspace 2
is a fast paced single player spaceship shooter with deep exploration in space and on planets. Tons of loot, RPG elements, mining, and crafting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the description of the game. And I saw the trailer for it. And let me tell you, it's fun. It seems like it was a game designed by people who play a lot of these types of games and said, you know what? I'm going to make the crafting part of this actually fun and usable, you know, and not overly complicated. Okay. I'm going to make the space combat fun and not so technical.
Mm-hmm.
This whole exploration, there's a whole storyline that they do it like with storyboards.
Right.
Let me tell you, the fighting on it feels like you're playing an arcade game almost.
Let me say space fighting, I envision like Wing Commander style, like
yeah,
cockpit.
It is. It's yeah, 3D. Okay. You do see your ship, but like most of these games, like I want to start going to my like my throttle controller, you know, for these space games usually.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This one, I'm using my Xbox controller and it's perfect.
Oh, good.
Ah.
It was designed just for that. Now, is it realistic space fighting? No, of course not. Is it fun?
Nope.
Absolutely.
Well, but good. Exactly. The problem with so many of those, I've tried several of those cockpit games like this in the past, and they're going down the road of Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's like,
right.
What about the throttle and the pitch and the yaw? And I'm like, I just want to shoot a spaceship.
That,
I, can
yeah,
I just fly and shoot is what I want to do.
And that's what basically what you do with this one.
Yeah. Awesome.
And the game has like multiple, I guess we'll call it scales. I guess like there's the close combat kind of fighting, dogfight
yep.
thing. Mm-hmm. But then you got to jump from planet to planet. And then, but basically they gave you like all these great, like, oh, hyperjump. Super simple. You get to the next planet. Boom, you're there. Good. It's not like this long, drawn out cut scene that you have to watch. And you know, I used to hate about those things.
Okay. So my follow-ups then, the first one is it's early release. So
yes.
Often early release means kind of buggy. What's your experience so far?
I have not experienced any bugs at all.
So no real problems there. Okay.
No problems there. And the only thing I've seen that makes me think it's early release that there's some of the cutscenes, they have somebody basically reading descriptions rather than dialogue.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So it makes me think that maybe they're still working on parts, but that's the only thing I've seen that makes me think it's early release.
And coming in early, what did you have to plunk down for it being pre-release even?
It cost me $30.
What?
$29.99.
Early access game cost
$30? Yeah.
I can't ever do that. That's like early adoption to the max. I know.
Yeah, I have no regrets.
Wow.
Mm.
I got through the first, like, because it's broken up in like different like star systems, I guess. I kind of got through the first one mostly, and there's like 8 more to go. And it took me hours. I mean, I played this thing a lot, and like I said, I had a blast the entire time. So I have zero regrets from doing this.
I'm kind of looking at some of the videos here because uh-huh. I went to the page to look at it, and it is obscenely gorgeous.
Oh, it's beautiful. And you fight like in asteroid fields and and on planets and actually on surface of planets, and the controls don't change. Your combat stays exactly the same for every environment, which is awesome.
Damn it. I don't need another game, Mo. I don't need more games to play.
But
quit
this one, though, it's fun. And even things like, which makes me believe that this was designed by people who play a lot of games, even the way you save, it does like smart saving, where when you go to a new system, it automatically saves for you.
Right.
And if you die, it takes you back to that point.
All the places you would expect to save anyway.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And you don't have to worry about it. I don't know. Maybe I'll run into bugs later, but so far I have not run into anything that's like jumps out at me as like, oh my God, like, you know, this is a bug for sure.
And do you know, is this connected to the old game from the 90s called Everspace? Is that, because it was also an outer space game.
Yeah, it is. I'm not sure what the connection is though.
Okay. All right. I seem to remember when I saw you playing it, I'm like, is that the old game? Oh, it's a new game. So it's something slightly different, but newer. Okay.
Because it is Everspace 2. So I guess it is.
All right. Well, maybe money well spent. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. So how about you, John? What are you playing?
You know, it's been a while since I've recommended a mobile game here. And the last time I did, we got lots of love/hate mail from people whose time we wasted by letting them find a mobile game.
Oh, man. Are you going to talk about the one that you told me to get?
Sort of. Yeah. So I don't know how I found this game. And the one I told you about, Mo, is not the one I'm going to recommend, but it's very similar.
Another one?
It's very similar. Very similar. Most all of the mobile games that I play are either run and tap to jump. You know, you're running horizontally and you got to do something. Or it's a damn gem matching. Match 3 gems, match 4 gems, that kind of thing. You know, the Candy Crush junk. And so I get tired of those pretty quickly. I enjoyed like out of the box thinking games. Like remember Threes, that game where you had to match some tiles, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, that was a lot of
so
fun.
So the game I'm going to recommend that you go and get, it's available right now. You can go get it on Android. You can get it on iTunes. It's called, very simply, Ball Sort Puzzle. Very creative title. That's it.
Okay. So I'm looking at this on Google Play right now.
Okay.
Yep. There's about 75 games called Ball Sort Puzzle. So you're going to have to give us a little bit more.
So look for the one created by Spica Game Studios.
Okay, I see that Spica. All right. 5 million downloads, 4.5 stars. All right.
It's free to download. You can pay to unlock, to like stop all the ads. The reason I want to recommend this one is because not only is it the most polished of the games like this that I found, I'm going to explain the game in a second, but also the ads aren't invasive. It's not like play 10 seconds and watch a 60-second commercial kind of garbage like you've seen.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
To the point where now I want to pay them. Do you remember when you were a toddler or you had a niece or a nephew who was a toddler and you have that puzzle where you have Fisher Price made it. There's these three pegs with slightly larger concentric rings and the object is to move them all from one ring to the other.
Yeah.
And you can't put a big one on top of a little one. You've all played that game at one point or another, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Okay. The concept of this is like that. You have these test tubes, and in the test tubes are four colored balls. The object is to sort out the balls so that every test tube has just a single color, all red, all blue, all green, all yellow. The catch is you can only put balls on top of the same colored ball or into an empty test tube. It's simple. It's Zen. It's just one of those things. You tap on one tube, you tap on another one, it moves the ball over. And as it progresses, they add more colors, they add fewer test tubes, you add more combinations. And finally, the thing that always gets me on these puzzle games is you get stuck and they want you to pay money. Oh, buy some coins, buy some gems, buy some flowers to get over that.
Yeah.
If you're super stuck, every one of these puzzles has a solution and they're great fun to play. But if you're stuck in the corner, you can click a button to watch a video voluntarily and they'll give you another empty test tube to make the puzzle a little bit easier to solve. And I like that option. You can put the training wheels on if you want, if you're stumped, if you're having trouble getting past something. The game is colorful. It's easy to play. The design is nice. The audio design is not obtrusive. It's drop dead simple. There are other ones like Water Sort Puzzle and Sand Sort Puzzle. It's not a new idea, but I found a great version. Ball Sort Puzzle by Spica Game Studios. You should go check it out. If you're looking for something to kill some time and man, this will do it, you ought to go and download it.
That's what I've been doing this whole time you've been talking.
Did you go and get it?
I just didn't want to listen to you, so I'm playing the game right now.
Me too, 79%
through with the...
Yeah, I got the first three
the
done.
Tutorial. I've earned 12 coins on the last.
Yeah, I got some coins. There's like a present, that fills up or something.
Okay. All right. I'll stop talking about it since you're more interested in playing the game. It is a cool game. You're going to find yourself going back to it again and again. And it's the one where you can play for a second, play it in a burst. And Mo, you mentioned that I made you play the one.
Sorry,
what did
you just say? I just finished.
Yeah, you're
level.
Stuck in the middle of your game.
Finished another level.
It is really easy.
And
to
now
play
I can get a prize by watching a video. Apparently,
if you want, you don't have to though. Totally optional.
Well, I want the prize. So,
okay, all right. Ball Sort Puzzle. Check it out in your app store, George. You're gonna close your phone now. We're moving on to you.
Wait, I'm almost done.
Okay,
almost.
Well, We're done? Hold on.
Yeah, almost there.
I've got 20 more seconds of this video.
Let me finish this last one.
Hold on.
Hold up.
Damn it.
Almost done.
Okay. Okay, while you're finishing that, I'll introduce your segment. So you've been working your way through from A to Z, Humble Bundle games that you bought and never played. We're up to the letter X now.
Three, two, one, video's done. There we go.
Claim your prize.
Okay. What do I get? I got a new flask. I don't know what that'll do for me, but hey. All right. Yes, I am in the middle of the Humble Bundle Alphabet Soup Marathon that it is. It's turned out to be one whole year because we do 26 episodes of this podcast.
Right,
and I had 26 letters in the alphabet. And
perfect.
So
yep,
every single one of them, it's been crazy. I am up to the letter X. Those of you who remember your ABCs from grade school, X is the third to the last letter. XYZ, we're almost there. I'm playing a game that I think Mo is probably a big fan of this franchise, and I know it's a long-standing franchise. It's called XCOM.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this particular variant is XCOM Enemy Unknown.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
It's an old game. 2012 was when it first came out.
George is like, I'll be the judge of that. Is it a good game?
Yeah. So what I noticed right away was it felt like it had a lot of polish. It almost felt like it might have been a AAA game when it came out in 2012, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a fun, very well put together game. One of the things that I love about it is it starts you off slow. In other words, you get the storyline of what's going on. You get a lot of great little cartoon cutscenes, not cartoonish, but animated cutscenes, I guess is a better way to put it. And it walks you through different parts and elements of the game that you'll be able to do as you move through the storyline. And the game is a turn-based strategy kind of action-y game a little bit, almost like, you know, the old games that I used to play, like Fantasy on the Commodore 64 way back when. You have these guys who are going in and their missions are different everywhere they go, but essentially you're trying to eliminate these aliens that have crashed into Earth with all these hundreds and millions of different spaceships around the different parts of the globe. After you get through the tutorial, you start off by putting a base somewhere in the world, and where you put the base gives you different modifiers for the game. Like maybe you can build planes faster or cheaper, or maybe your research is faster or better, that kind of stuff. It's really fun. I've only played a couple of levels in it so far, a couple of stages or missions, whatever they're called. I can tell this could be a very addicting game time-wise, because having to wait to make your move, it doesn't feel like that takes that long, but then you look up at the clock and it's an hour later.
Yeah. Yeah, I killed many an hour like that.
I believe you did. And I'm really impressed with this game. I really enjoy it so far. It's a good game.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the whole franchise, they did, like you said, it's a polished game. And the thing I thought that they did excellent is, like, a lot of the ways you expect things to work is the way it works.
Right, exactly.
Like, I hit escape and it takes you out of menu. Oh, great. You know, like, it's just little things like that. It's like a tactical squad-based combat sort of thing, but it's turn-based. Sure. And your people improve over time. You get attached to people.
Yes.
They die. You get pissed off.
You get to upgrade them. You can even name your people as they get added to your squad, right? Oh. You can change their facial features.
Just to make it
colors.
Hurt more when they die.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, damn it. I worked for 20 minutes to get his nose just right. And now he's dead.
Yeah. Guess I gotta redo that mission because I can't have him die.
Yeah. It's a good solid game. There's only one problem with the game. And that's its current price.
Uh-oh.
This game came out in 2012.
Yep.
This game is still $29.99 on Steam.
What? Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I will say it goes on sale a lot.
It does probably go on sale. Does. It's at its current regular price, which is $29.99. I'm assuming that, like, during the winter sale or the summer sale or any franchise sales, it'll probably drop to like $9 or cheaper. If you find it on sale, it's well worth it. At $29.99, you better really love the franchise, I think, before
that's,
you buy
that's
this
high.
Game.
Especially for a 9-year-old game.
Like, and for XCOM, it's such a big franchise. There's got to be a bundle out there where there's like 12 different things out there for $50 and you get, for something. I can't imagine $30 on that.
Yeah, I would suggest going to like one of those places, is there any deal, and searching for it that way so you can find it at a much cheaper price. But currently on Steam, if you don't want to go looking for it, $29.99. That's my only knock against the game. Everything else on the game is perfect. I really enjoy the game. I just can't get past that price, especially considering the whole point of this segment is Humble Bundle.
So, well, speaking of price, I know that George didn't pay $29.99 for it.
I did not. No. So, as a matter of fact.
Break it to us. How damn cheap did you get off on this game?
So the bundle that this came in, which I bought in 2016, mind you, which is 4 years after the game came out, was the Humble Firaxis bundle. So it was a bundle specifically geared toward the company that makes this game.
Okay, yeah.
I paid a total for that bundle of $15. So half the price of the one game on Steam right now, I bought the whole bundle. There were 16 items in that bundle.
Oh, damn. $100.
So this game, it's one of the more expensive ones on my list, believe it or not, at the Humble Game Division price, but it's 94 cents is what it cost me.
Oh, my goodness. You spend thrift? You're just wasting money. Oh, my goodness. Almost a dollar.
So over the current game price, I saved a total of $29.05. I thought really hard about this because I hadn't played it a lot, but I'm so impressed with what I've played so far. I gave this one 4 tokens out of 5.
Oh, nice.
It's a solid, solid game.
I understand that. It's a solid game, like you said.
That's cool. And so a quick update. Where are we at so far? Just two letters left. How much have you spent now?
How much saved? So far, total that I've spent on Humble Bundle products, $317.39 on Humble Bundle packages.
Okay.
On individual games, if I purchased them through Steam, that would have been $377.
All right.
Total price on the games, if you just pay for the one game with the division and all the math, $10.17 for 24
games. 24 games now. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Damn. That's cool. All right. So often you have a game to give away after we do one of these. What do you have this time around?
So I have a game this time around that I don't know why, and maybe Mo can explain this. I'm not sure. It seems to be a part of the game that I'm currently playing. So when I first load XCOM Enemy Unknown on Steam, it comes up with a choice to play that game or another game called XCOM UFO Defense. And oddly enough, that is the Steam key that we have to give away for free this week. XCOM UFO Defense. It seems like it would be a fun game because it's paired with this one, and I already love this one. But
right.
I'm sure that somebody out there, if you enjoy any of the XCOM series, you'd probably enjoy this game as well.
I think, and Mo, you might correct me, I believe UFO Defense is the original game in the franchise from 94.
Yeah, it's super old.
Is that right?
Okay.
So it's like a classic game. So this is a key for the original XCOM game called whatever, UFO Defense.
Yep. Sure.
Okay. All right. So we need a subject line for the email. What should it be? What do you think?
XCOM Unite.
XCOM Unite. So put that in the subject line. Hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. And if you're the first one to hit our inbox, you will win a free copy of XCOM UFO Defense. Awesome.
Very cool.
All right. We will check out what we're looking forward to right after this break.
Why is everyone so fascinated with Ellen? We've picked apart her features and she isn't beautiful. Or her nose is too long and her bottom teeth are crooked. Her hair is just regular brown. You'd never call it chestnut or auburn. And she certainly isn't glamorous. So when this guy said, "You smell great, Ellen," we almost died. Why is everyone so fascinated with Ellen?
Jovan Florals. Wear them and create your own intrigue.
In a world infatuated with comic fandom, comes a show to help us remember the talents that have inspired us.
Whoa, 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 cut.
Oh, come on, it wasn't that bad.
It's a bit dramatic. Let's just tell them about the show, guys.
We are the Canned Air Podcast.
Join us weekly for a comedic trip through pop culture.
We also welcome some cool comic creators, as well as some of the voice and screen actors that helped shape your childhood.
Find us on CannedAirPodcast.com and on the Evergreen Podcast Network.
Before we finish up the show, we'd like to take just a few minutes here toward the end to talk about what we're looking forward to between now and the next time we get together. And I'm going to get the ball rolling. I'm looking forward to the first time in a couple of years, I sprung for a new cell phone. I saw this new Samsung.
I thought you could go for iPhone.
Jesus.
No, I'm not going for a stupid iPhone, Mo. I escaped the orbit of the Apple ecosystem. I'm not going back. No. The Samsung S21 Ultra, the big one with a giant 20 cameras on the back. And it's supposed to arrive January 29th to my doorstep, which is the day after this show. So I'm very excited to get that. I skipped the Samsung 20, whatever those were.
That's the one that I have.
You have that
I'm
one.
On the evens and you're on the odds, it seems.
I'm on the odds. Yep. So I had the one before that. I had the 10 plus or whatever that was the previous year. And did I need a new phone? No. But they give you so many great deals. There's the phone. If you order it early, they'll buy back an old phone for too much money. I sold them an S8 for $250. They give you $200 in Samsung store credit to spend on other crap. So I got the new Earbuds Pro. Samsung, they know how to get my money and they're doing it. So I'm eager to have a new top of the line premium flagship super duper cell phone. And I'm sure we'll probably talk about it in the next tech segment.
So are you buying these phones outright? Or are you doing like most of us do where you go to your Verizon or AT&T store and you pay $20-$30 a month on it?
Yeah, I would rather just take one big bite than have it trickle and add to my monthly expense. So I take out a savings and just pay for it once and then you don't feel it anymore. And so, you know, it's been 2 years since I bought a phone. And so I rationalize some of the savings I've been making must have been for a phone, right? So I can spend that money.
That is a serious rationalization.
Yeah, it is, but it's shiny, it's new, it looks great. All the reviews I've seen of it, I feel like I haven't made a mistake. And so, new Samsung S21 Ultra is what I'm looking forward to. George, how about you? What do you got coming on the horizon?
You know, I have a new TV show that's coming up, and this show stars one of my favorite actors of the current generation. It's a guy that I love. I think he does drama and comedy equally well. Alan Tudyk is in a new show on the Sci-Fi channel called Resident Alien.
Oh, I'm there. Oh,
it's King Candy. Of course I have to. It's King Candy.
It's Wash.
He's also King Candy.
The robot from iRobot. He's the great character from Death at a Funeral.
Yep.
So let me give you the synopsis of this thing. An alien crashes on Earth and hides in a remote Colorado mountain town. After assuming the identity of the town doctor, his nefarious mission is threatened when he realizes one of the townspeople, a 9-year-old boy, can see his true alien form.
Ooh. Now, is this a comedy, I assume?
It's a drama comedy.
Okay.
I'm not sure what to expect. I've seen one trailer and Alan Tudyk is playing, he has that face, if you ever saw the movie that he was in, Death at a Funeral, not the stupid American version, but the original British version. When he was on drugs in that story, he has that same kind of look on the face of the alien.
and he is the alien in this?
He is the alien. He's the alien. I'm there.
I'm done. Yep. It's like the ball game. You can keep talking, but I'm not listening. I've already bought in.
Well, all you have to do is tune in on January 27th to the Sci-Fi Channel, and you too can become a fan of Resident Alien.
I'm ready.
Yep, I'm there.
That sounds great. I never heard of it, but now I'm sold. I always get something like that out of these podcasts, like crap I'd never heard of. I hope our viewers do too, but at least I do. So,
nothing else. You know.
How about you? What are you looking forward to?
So I'm looking forward to the second season. Matter of fact, by the time the show airs, it would have started, of a show called Snowpiercer.
Oh, right. Ooh. We've talked about that before. Yeah.
You just made my son very happy. He's been asking me for like 3 months, when is Snowpiercer season 2 coming on? Now I can tell him. It happens while your dad's out of town.
Exactly. It's the 24th, so the day after we're recording this, but like a few days before this airs.
So out now as you listen.
It's out now. So it's based on the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you who don't know, the whole premise is that the whole Earth freezes, essentially, and there's a super high-tech train that never stops circling the world, and they're like the last known survivors.
Yeah, these are the last of the human race. They live in the society that we know of now. You got poor, you got middle class, and then you got super ultra-rich, but they're all contained in this aluminum tin can of death as they're circling the globe. It's a great series. I love the original movie, but man, Mo, I'm so happy you told us about that. That's awesome.
There you go.
When you need something printed, you have many places to choose from.
We are forms. Forms are us. Those aren't forms.
Yeah. We could do that. We could do that.
You can't do that.
Yeah, we can do two colors, black and white.
If people only knew all the things Pip Printing can do, they'd save themselves a lot of trouble. Pip can do it.
If there was anything in this show you'd like to learn more about, the show notes which accompany each episode are full of links to click and explore. Catch up on past episodes and get pinged every time a new one's released by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And you know, iTunes reviews help more than you know, so if you haven't yet, please rate and review us in the iTunes app. And if you have a friend who isn't yet listening, why not? Tell them about us, they'll thank you later. You're our fourth listener, and we'd love to read your emails right here on the show, so hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. And finally, Gen X Grown Up is more than just this podcast. Our YouTube channel has hundreds of videos ready for you to enjoy, plus you can find our entire body of work on genxgrownup.com. That's going to just about wrap it up for this 90th entry in the Gen X Grown Up podcast series. Before we leave, you know I love to take just a few seconds here right at the end of the show to give our extreme gratitude for the folks that support us financially over Patreon. And I'm talking about you, Marcus, Slomo, Adam, Tony, Lee, Matt, Thomas, Dan, Blasteter, Stash, Sean, Ben, T2, Mike C, Butterspider, Greg Z, Stew Monkey, Shelby, Levi, Chet, Greg L, Davis, Chad, Mark, Arlem, Jonathan H, Jason, Steens, Chewbacca, Agile, Dana, David, Travis, and new, since the last time we spoke, Miss So has joined us. As a Patreon supporter, thank you, Miss So. If you would like to join this roster like Miss So did, Mo, would you tell the fine listeners how they can get that done?
So it's super easy. Just go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon. We have all sorts of different levels. And, you know, the more you give, the more you're comfortable giving. We have extra swag. We have some extra content and a whole bunch of extra stuff to do. So, again, anytime anybody gives us anything, we're appreciative. So just go to that site and help us out.
Oh, you're right. You know, and speaking of extras, we have a new way you can support us. If you're interested, over on the YouTube side, any video, you look at the bottom, there's a little join button. You become a member of us on YouTube. You get some little badges. You get some exclusive emoji. You get some exclusive content over there as well. And I want to thank the people that have already joined us over there, including Miss So, we just spoke about, Mike M, Stoop Baca, Mike B, T2, Blastin' and Stashin', Doc and Marcus have all joined us over on the YouTube side. Man, just the support is overwhelming. We put every single nickel right back into the things we do here on the podcast over on YouTube and on the website. That is going to wrap it up for this edition of the show. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another, but next week is our backtrack. We pick a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. George, tell the fourth listener what's coming for him next week.
Absolutely. It's time to go back in time 40 years to relive an activity that every single one of us who listens to this podcast and creates this podcast was doing in the early 80s, and that is listening to the Billboard charts every single week. We are going to take a look back at the 1981 Hot 100 number one Billboard hits.
Oh my God, that's 40 years ago.
40 years back.
40 years ago. Absolutely.
Ooh. And still some of the best music on the planet.
Oh yeah.
Well,
some of the best music on the planet. Not all. Some. You don't want to miss that one. It's going to be a lot of fun. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you, man.
Oh man, always fun.
Fourth listener, it's you we all appreciate most of all, though, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. Washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up. Lots of good outs in there. Awesome.
Yeah.
Holy shit. One word in that card, I would have never thought that's where that would have taken us.
Yeah, yeah.
Whew.
All right. Tech us up.
I can watch it right now.
I already downloaded it just based on the trailer.
Okay, ready.
Well, I guess we're not getting shit done this weekend because we're going to be sitting here watching Servant the whole fucking time.
I rambled too much on that. Thank you for bailing me out of that, George.
Yeah, no problem.
like, where else do I go now?
So, yeah,
and it that's slides. What it does.
It was, you know, I knew you could ask that question. I fucking forgot to look.
That's right, I am.
Hold up. Give me a second here. Where is it now? Oh, shit. I don't remember.
Our audience wants to know, Mo.
I know. And as soon as
I want to know, Mo. You know I love to give. You know I love just. Damn it. You know I love to take just
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
The new system is just what we hope for.
Let's keep it.
Brent.
I'm Allison Holland, host of the Kennedy Dynasty podcast. Equipped with a microphone and a long-term fascination of the Kennedy family, I am joined by an incredible cast of experts, friends, and guests to take you on a fun, relaxed, yet informative journey through history and pop culture. From book references to fashion to philanthropy to our modern expectations of the presidency itself, you'll see that there is so much more to Kennedy than just JFK or conspiracy theories. Join me for the Kennedy Dynasty podcast.